WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Yesterday and today, we've been asking our guests when and how should the U.S. get out of Iraq. Our next guest, Yanar Mohammed, is an Iraqi women's rights activist. In 2003, after the fall of Baghdad, she co-founded the Organization of Women's Freedom in Iraq, which she now directs. She was raised in Iraq, moved to Canada in 1993, and since 2003 has divided her time between Iraq and Ontario. She returned from her latest trip to Baghdad a couple of weeks ago. She cut the trip short because of threats against her. Yanar Mohammed, welcome back to Fresh Air. Let's start out with you very briefly stating what your position was on the invasion.
I was in total rejection of this occupation because we could see beforehand that it will take away the civility from our lives. A military invasion cannot but destroy your life and bring out the worst in the society, and it did.
Do you think the United States should pull out now, and if not now, when?
I think the United States should pull out immediately because the more we are subject to military situations, the worse we are and the more attractive our cities are for all the mujahideen coming from all over the world to fight this, what they call the big evil, which is the United States Army.
Now, the last time you were on our show, you talked about how women were being kidnapped and held for ransom, and how in many areas, women not only had to wear the veil now in Iraq, they had to wear the veil of the militia that controlled their neighborhood, kind of like wearing the right gang colors. If the United States pulls out now, does that stand to help or hurt the cause of women's rights? Will it empower militia leaders if the United States pulls out now? Will it empower Islamic fundamentalists who demand that women wear the veil?
As long as the United States Army is staying in Iraq, it has already empowered all the Islamist factions and it has handed over the power to them. They feel very free to walk around the streets and to oppress women the way they like. And they have multiplied in ways where they have now militias, they have gangs, they have self-acclaimed vigilantes who feel very free to kill whichever woman they find unveiled in the streets. And this happens under the blessings and the existence of the U.S. Army. Why? Because they say it's democracy. They will not interfere with what's happening in the Iraqi streets.
You got back a couple of weeks ago from a month-long visit to Baghdad. How do you think the surge and the successes that it has had has affected women in Iraq?
Well, you know, the very much celebrated surge in Iraq and the relative security that it has created was something that the U.S. government over-celebrated. In Iraq, we are desperate to have some security, and it would make me very happy to tell you that this surge was successful. But in reality, this surge was only arming and supporting one extra militia, which is Sunni, which is made of the tribes of the Sunni Arabs in some parts of the suburbs of Baghdad and the Sunni Triangle. And these are some of the worst places for women and the worst groups to empower in Iraq. So what happened in the last 2 weeks, again, a rise of violence, an increase in the number of explosions, and women, their situations are as bad as they used to be. Actually, in the southern cities of Basra and Umara, the levels of women's killings did rise to levels that were unprecedented, and they are still rising, and nothing is being done about it.
As part of the surge, the United States has paid people who were Sunni insurgents and Sunni militia leaders to put down their arms and stop fighting. This was an attempt to stop the sectarian fighting. And by many reports, that has had a lot of success. Are you saying that some of the people who we've been paying to put their arms down now are actually some of the same people who are the most repressive of women?
Yes, they are. The Sunni tribal heads in their parts of Iraq, the young girls are not allowed to education. Multiple marriages is something common that happens every day. This is the group which was empowered. And if we're discussing about was it a good solution, I take you to the root of the problem. The original policy was to divide Iraqis into Sunnis and Shiites. And later on, when the Shiites became stronger by the American and the Iranian and the other countries' support, the Americans decided to empower the Sunnis. So the question here is, why divide in the first place if you don't want to conquer? Why empower one group and wait for them to kill the other group and then empower the second group? Well, the only natural consequence to that is that the second group will be killing the first group and the sectarian conflict will go on and on. The whole political formula was wrong, was a big mistake, dividing Iraqis upon religious and sectarian lines. Why couldn't the division has been on political lines, like in the United States, like anywhere in the world where you have the right-wing conservative parties, the left-wing leftist parties, and the center? Why did it have to be on religious, sectarian, and ethnic lines? If it explains one thing, it explains that the U.S. right administration look at Iraqis in a racist way.
When the United States does eventually leave Iraq, would you like to see any military forces stay behind?
If there are any military forces, we prefer them not to be American, to be multinational forces of neutral nature, and we know that is very difficult. If you ask me, I prefer to stay with the Iraqi forces, and the coming round of election may help us to kick out some of the bad figures or the bad movements that have come into Iraq, and there should be no more U.S. military existence in Iraq.
What makes you think the death toll will decrease when the Americans pull out?
It will not decrease immediately. But the death toll of women matches the empowerment of the Islamic parties in Iraq. If the Islamic parties and the tribal groups are strong, the killings of women are more. If the Islamic groups felt threatened and they are weaker, the killings will be less. If the healthy political dynamics are supported in Iraq, the leftist side of the society will become stronger, the killings of the women will not be allowed to stay, and the Islamists will become weaker. The U.S. troops have to leave and have to let these natural dynamics take place in Iraq.
Are women represented in the Iraqi government now? And is there a proportion in the Iraqi parliament set aside for women?
In the last round, the proportion was 25% representation of women, which is a very good number. But the problem was, in this first round, it was quantitative representation. Half of them came from Islamist parties, and they all voted against women's rights, and they do not even acknowledge women's issues and equality. So we do not know whether in this coming election we can maintain the proportion of 25%. But we will definitely push for it. And maybe this time some of us women activists, egalitarian women activists, let's call it, can make their way.
Younar Mohammed, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Terry, very much for having me here.
Younar Mohammed co-founded and directs the Organization of Women's Freedom in Iraq.